T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover with John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And we're back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's a Friday evening on the John Chuckery Show. Nick Cale is joining me this evening. We also recommend you download your Radio.com app. Put that on one of your devices. That way you can catch us on the go. We know a lot of you folks are not getting a chance to listen in your car as often, so Radio.com is the place to be able to hear us. 404-741-0929 is the phone line and the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Follow us on social media. He's at Nick Cale. It's K-A-Y-A-L. I am at JMCH316. Jarvis is in the building producing at JarvisD90. And this is our nightly look at all things Falcons football. It is the Falcons flyover. So, couple of news and notes for the Atlanta Falcons. They did make another signing today. No, not talking about Hurst or Todd Gurley or anybody like that. But special teamer Sherrod Neesman, who's been, you know, he's a safety by trade, but really he's been one of their better special teams players. He has got a one-year deal. Look, you need guys like this, Nick, when you're talking about building a quality football team. If you've got guys that are good special teams players, I always joke about the Bill Parcells theory. You know, Bill Parcells would look to upgrade any position that he had on the football field. Didn't matter if it was special teams, punter, you know, long snapper. If you got guys that you like and can help your football team, even down on the 53-man part of it, you keep those guys.
Yeah, you got to have glue guys. Undrafted 2016 out of Florida Atlantic. Really, you know, a depth piece, obviously, with Keanu Neal. Hopefully he's healthy next year and can be on the field for all 16. Ricardo Allen. So you're not expecting him to be a game changer by any stretch, but it's certainly a guy that you can call on when needed.
Yeah, I mean, special teams guys, you know, it's, I understand it's a different world now for special teams in the NFL, but it's still blocking, tackling, covering, and things like that, you know. So having a guy like that in the mix, always a good thing to have. So the Arthur Blank Family Foundation made a big-time donation today. So they announced nearly $5.4 million in funding for immediate and long-term recovery assistance to organizations providing critical support throughout Georgia and Montana. Quote from Arthur Blank, "As a family foundation, we've always believed that it's the power of many that will make the greatest impact on the most pressing issues in our society. That is this moment to join together to truly harness the power of all of us to address a challenge that knows no boundaries and no precedent in our lifetime." So they'll grant $5 million to the Greater Atlanta COVID-19 Response and Recovery Fund, which was established by the United Way of Greater Atlanta and Community Foundation for Greater Atlanta. So, you know, one thing about Arthur, Nick, you know, always done a lot of great work here. He's a true Atlanta guy, really believes in the city and in this team. And just another, you know, again, we're seeing a lot of these owners now that are really starting to pony up some real money to help folks out.
Yeah, I think no matter what fan base you root for and whatever city, whatever market you live in, no matter whether that team and that franchise that the owner is certainly under control of has 6 Lombardis, 2 Lombardis, or 0, anytime they step out and do something like this, regardless of how wealthy they are, it is a big thing and something that you should just, you know, put aside whether you love the guy, you like the guy, you're indifferent, or you hate the guy. You tip your cap to a guy that's going to put that kind of investment into something that's more important than football.
Yeah. And one thing about Arthur, he's never been bashful about helping folks. I mean, he's always put a lot of money from his foundation into everything. There's also a $100,000 grant to Hands on Atlanta funding the Funding from the Blank Foundation will ensure 31 AmeriCorps members can continue to support public schools across Metro Atlanta. Also, too, there's $100,000 being given to the Atlanta Police Foundation to maintain adequate staffing levels and ensure the safety of officers through the enhanced sanitation of police facilities. And also, too, it says that Mercedes-Benz Stadium, part of Arthur Blank's businesses, donated 3.5 tons of surplus of food, $100,000 worth of value, providing more than 2,310 meals to six nonprofit groups. So, you know, one of the things that a lot of people are having concern is all these people that are hoarding all this stuff.
Are you one of them?
No, okay. I'm not hoarding. I mean, I had everything. I mean, I got plenty of toilet paper. I got hand sanitizer. I don't need to hoard anything. I already had stuff. I bought a few things, but these people are hoarding stuff. Now they're worrying about, okay, everybody's hoarding stuff. What's the meat and everything like that. Okay, what's the expiration date? What happens when you don't use it all?
Well, I actually read something where beyond the meats, but some of the, you know, the supplies, if you don't need them when all this is over and we return to normalcy, you're not going to be able to return them.
No, you shouldn't. And what are you going to do with it? Like, what? At some point, what do you do with 4,000 rolls of toilet paper?
Right. Jarvis just said it was Costco.
Oh, yeah, they shouldn't. Yeah. I hope they don't take it back.
Yeah, if you went overboard and you try to return it to get your money back, I'm glad. I really am.
Watching some of those people with literally like, 25, 30 of those jumbo packs, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't crap every day, 8 hours a day, and need all that toilet paper.
Do you guys have Sam's Clubs in and around
Atlanta? Oh, yeah. I'm a Sam's Club member.
Okay.
Yes.
So my wife last week went totally nuts. We have a Jeep Grand Cherokee. Mm-hmm. She sends me a text just pulling in, come on out, I need your help. Next thing I know, I see the Jeep pop open in the back. It goes up the latch.
Yeah.
There's toilet paper falling out, things of Lysol wipes. I looked at her. I'm like, I felt like I was Will Smith and I Am Legend getting ready to stock up for the rest of eternity.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I didn't know the zombie apocalypse was coming. I've got my bug out bag, but I didn't know it was coming. But I'm with you on all that. All right, Bill Barnwell, we talked about the grades that he gave the Falcons trade with Hayden Hurst. So his grades for the Dante Fowler signing and the Todd Gurley signing have come out. So for Dante Fowler, 3 years at $48 million, C+. He says that Fowler had his best pro season in 19 when the former third-round pick started all 16 games for the first time in his career, 11.5 sacks for the Rams. It's fair to look at his success and assume it was a product of teams hyper-vigilant and focused on Aaron Donald. But that wasn't really the case. Fowler had 2 sacks in Week 1 when the Panthers locked in on the star defensive tackle and tried to block him alternately with Christian McCaffrey. And nobody, but he didn't get another sack playing off Donald or on the same side as the 2-time defensive player of the year until Week 16. Says that, can the Falcons count on this sort of production when Fowler every season? I'm not sure anyone can be sure. He wasn't a particularly effective pass rusher at Florida, where the Gators moved him around on defense. The Jags drafted him 3rd. Fowler never got back his starting job once Yannick Ngakoue took over. So here's the other thing about Fowler. There is something about if you say a guy's played for 3 teams in his first 5 years in the league.
No doubt. But remember, he comes out 3rd overall pick, gets hurt in that camp. Yep. Really never
first
got
play,
into a groove.
Like, right. Literally like the first practice, first play, he tore his ACL or whatever.
But in 2017, he had 8 sacks. So are we just going to say his 8 sacks for the Jags 3 years ago was because of Calais Campbell and Yannick Ngakoue? Are we just going to say all of his success with the Rams and Jaguars that he did have? So basically he's had 2 pretty good years and 2 not so good years.
Right.
So are we just going to discredit the good years because it's success by association?
Well, I think my only thing is, how much of an upgrade from Vic Beasley is he? Because I know Vic Beasley was a 15.5 sack guy that helped his team get to the Super Bowl. He was 8 or 8.5 sacks last year himself. Is Dante Fowler with 3 more sacks than Vic Beasley as big of an upgrade to solve the pass rush problem? In my mind, no.
Well, let's look at the full
better than nothing, but in my mind, no.
Let's say he plays out all 3 years, $48 million, and he's 8 sacks, 9 sacks, 7 sacks. Would you say that was a successful acquisition?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you want double digits every year?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why you go 3 for 48 to a guy like that, who's he's going into his second contract as a player. If you're going to give him, you know, on average a $16 million, which puts him, you know, toward the higher end of pass rushers in the NFL. Now, I know, what was it, Buckner just got $21 million, you know, from the Colts, whatever like that. But he's on the higher end of pass rushers. If you're going to pay a guy like that, then 10 sacks in 16 games should be something that's a realistic goal. Hell, we talked about Clay Matthews earlier. Clay Matthews had 10 or more sacks in four of his first six seasons in the NFL as an outside linebacker.
But what if the production as a collective unit is very good? What if we're getting eight per year from Fowler, Grady Jarrett's going to grab himself seven, eight, nine, Tack McKinley comes back and starts to show what he's capable of. If that group as a whole can be top third of the league?
Oh, yeah, as a group that's successful. You think Tack McKinley is going to get seven, eight, nine sacks because he's got Dante Fowler on the other side of him?
Probably not.
Okay. Grady Jarrett is a tremendous football player,
mm-hmm.
but he's about six sacks. I mean, there's nobody 22 in the middle of your defense like that. I mean, this is one of the things I joked about. I wanted Eric Armstead. I mean, the Falcons could never afford him, although when you look at the deals, it's not that huge of a difference. But, hell, I would like to have Eric Armstead, an interior defensive lineman who gets double-digit sacks. You know what a rare commodity that is in the NFL?
Very few guys can do it.
That's the four-leaf clover of the NFL.
I mean, think about the guys that we've seen do it in the last decade. Aaron Donald, I mean, Ndamukong Suh before he mm-hmm. totally mailed it mm-hmm. in. J.J. Watt, although he's technically a D-end in a 3-4.
Right.
That's very few people.
Yeah, there's just not many of those guys. Now, the Todd Gurley signing, Barnwell gave it a C+.
Barnwell didn't have a good breakfast this morning. He's a little cranky.
Yeah, he is. A little salty, huh? I'm going to put some salt on those eggs.
A lot of C+. It's like my high school transcripts.
You know, he talks about really the breakdown of the contract. He says the Falcons certainly need a running back after cutting Devontae Freeman, but they should have filled this position in the draft. I don't love the idea of using $6 million on a running back given the limited cap space they have to replenish their defense. Because this is a one-year deal, even if Gurley breaks out and returns to form, they will probably talk themselves into giving him a new contract next offseason. I don't know about that. Let's put it this way. A lot of that's going to be determined about who's going to be the coach and GM of this team next year before they worry about that. One-year deals in the NFL, as long as we're not talking big-time money, I don't have problems with that with guys.
No,
I mean, show me deals, don't bother me.
I got to tell you, though, if you think about it, so he's going to go C+ on both of those players. Mm-hmm. Considering the way I looked at it and the way I read everything, and everything I heard was Thomas Dimitroff and Arthur Blank and the Falcons did not have a lot of money.
Right.
They were not going to be that active. All in all, I mean, if he's going to sit there and go C+, I'm more like in the B+ range. I think this has been surprisingly successful, and I would say I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, I would give probably about a B+ on Fowler because at least you've got a guy who's coming off double-digit sacks, and probably a B on Gurley. I mean, because there's enough unknown with Todd Gurley to say, okay, I can't give him an A because he's not that guy anymore. And again, I'll say if we were talking about coming off an ACL or something is one thing. When your trainer comes out and says you have an arthritic knee, that's a whole different ballgame. I mean, just Google these two words, Sandy Koufax, and you'll learn about what arthritic, in your elbow can be to a pitcher. How about arthritic in your knee to a running back? I mean, there's only so much shooting up of needles that you can do to try to overcome some of that stuff.
But here, as much as I like these moves, and I don't love them, but I like them, like I said, a BB+, what's the one common denominator between Dante Fowler and Todd Gurley?
Well, they were both Rams.
That is correct. And everybody and their mother says Sean McVay is a whiz kid.
Mm-hmm.
He's boy wonder. He's a genius. He's one of the bright young minds in the National Football League. Well, what does it say if Sean McVay says, I'm done with a 25-year-old running back that maybe's seen his shelf life expire, and I don't believe $15, $16 million a year is right for Dante Fowler?
Yeah, and let's face it. You have Jared Goff. They're not a pass-first type of offense either. I mean, they are a lineup. And I mean, you remember the Dallas playoff game. They're a run-first, come-at-you type of offensive set. They ain't like Matt and everybody with Julio and everybody just hucking around all over the field. So, yeah, I agree with you on all that. All right, coming up next, That's Life. Tax day got pushed back. A few other things to get into. We'll have a little bit of fun as John Chuckery, Nick Cale hanging out with you here on a Friday night on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in the K Studios on the John Chuckery Show. 9:23 on a Friday. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
Nick Cale joining me in studio tonight. 404-741-0929. That is the phone line. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Don't forget about the radio.com app to make sure that you can always catch us on the go or wherever you may be. Put on your smartphone, smart speakers, smart tablet, smart Walkman, smart Sega Genesis. I don't know, whatever you got that's out there. Follow us on social media. He's at Nick Cale, K-A-Y-A-L. I'm at JMCH316.
Now, the 316, is that an homage to your boy? Yeah. I just want to make sure.
I'm the Georgia Rattlesnake. I mean, so, you know.
You know, I actually got a text 2 days ago saying that exact thing. He said, you're going to be with the Georgia Rattlesnake on Friday night.
Yeah. Who texted you?
The hell was it? Oh, Sean.
Okay.
Sean Thompson.
Yeah, there you go. Do you guys have bad pollen up in Nashville? Because
no, my old stomping grounds in the suburbs of Philadelphia, it was called the Lehigh Valley. Allergy hell.
We were watching today because the place I worked during the day, there's like one of those, it's like a through the parking lot, there's like this like V-shaped concrete drain.
Mm-hmm.
Entire thing is like, it looks like somebody came in and painted it that yellow. And you can feel it when you stand out. You know, it was 80 degrees today.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing like pollen in Atlanta. And I hate to say it this way, but you're going to have people over the next few weeks that are going to not feel good because of pollen and not know whether it's allergies, or is it, you know,
COVID-19.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's going to confuse people because you're going to be stuffed up and your head's going to hurt. But the pollen down here, when it gets cranked up and going, all that rain that we got, you're going to be wishing it was raining like that once a day when the pollen really hits.
See, what's weird is, like, when I was in high school and in college and from, like, 22 until 28 or so, I had the worst allergies. I would always wake up. I'd have a sneezing fit for 15 minutes. I'd pop a Claritin or an Allegra, and I'd be good to go. And then, all of a sudden, I just, like, I don't know if I outgrew it or something, but I literally, for the last 7 years of my life, have not had a single allergy.
You know, I think that's true, though. I think that you could. I think that, you know, your body grows and does mature out of some of those things. I mean, I had a heart murmur as a kid, and I used to have to go every year and have my heart checked out, and eventually you just grow out of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not that there was anything wrong with my heart. It's just they would check it and monitor it, and then eventually it was like, okay, well, it ain't there anymore, and you're like, okay, I don't have to come back here? All right, that's cool.
I mean, I was a sneezing mess. Like, I would come down the stairs, start hacking my head up for 15 minutes. I'd be a sweaty mess. My face was red. And then it would subside the rest of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. It will get bad here. We're just, you know, yesterday was the first day of spring. You know, now it really gets cranked up out here. And trust me, people are going to be wishing it was raining. If you didn't see the announcement today, tax day was pushed back to July 15th. Now, they had announced about the idea of the payments didn't have to be done until July. But now, because there was some confusion about, well, we still got to file it. And they were like, yeah, you got to still file by April 15th, but you can pay your tax bill getting into July 15th. Well, to me, that's completely stupid. I mean, just if you're going to push back tax day, push the whole freaking thing back. And they did July 15th. So if you didn't hear, you can now wait till, you know, July 15th is now officially tax day for this year, filing and paying your taxes.
Just to show you how worthless I truly am, I've been married to my wife since 2008, married at a young age. I couldn't tell you how to file taxes if my life depended on it.
Is it because the wife always
handles
it?
She does everything.
Okay.
Does everything.
Did you guys go anywhere, or did you just do it yourself?
I don't even know.
I mean, when I was younger, I could do like the 1040 easy and just be done and stuff like that. But, you know, once I've had a kid and you know, doing this, you try to write different things off and stuff like that. I don't have a tax, you know, person, but I have gone like Jackson Hewitt in those places, and I'll be like, here you go.
Oh, dude, if I ever get divorced, I'm screwed. Like, I literally do not know how to do any of these adult-type things.
Do you have a kid?
I have twins.
Okay, then you are screwed.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, can I give you the best piece of advice you ever have? It's
sure.
Always cheaper to keep her.
Okay.
I mean, it trust me, I'm... young daughter. I had a young daughter. Mm-hmm. Keeper to keeper.
Okay.
Figure it out, man.
Okay.
Figure it out and stay married. You got twins. It's better for them, better for the kids. Keeper to keeper, right, Jarvis? I mean, you listen. I don't care. Listen, you got to go sleep on the couch. Got to go sleep mm-hmm. in the garage. Figure it out, man. Go
I mean, I can totally function. I can grill. I can do laundry.
Sure. That's all
I can
great.
Do the dishes, yeah. all that okay. stuff.
Well, but tell like me how that all goes stuff, when you got an ex-wife and kids.
Right. Like W whatever's yeah. and okay. claiming yeah. dependence. It's all foreign to
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me how that works when you get divorced and have kids. And then you think taxes is the hard thing to figure out? Okay. Right. Let me know how it goes for you out there. So okay. keeper to keeper, mm-hmm. stay together. Sorry. That's just my past pick of advice. So they've shut down schools here, obviously, in the state of Georgia. And have they shut down all the schools and daycares for an extended period of time up
yeah.
in Nashville as well?
Yeah, they're done.
Yeah. They. I'm telling you right now, because we got an email, I guess it was yesterday. The plan was is that they were going to be in the – my daughter goes to Cherokee County. So she's in the Cherokee County School District. That's north. So – like if you go when you go back up 75 mm-hmm. and it breaks off to 575, okay. When you go up 575, that's going to take you up into Canton, okay. So that's Cherokee County up there. The plan was they were off this week, they were off next week, come back for a week, and then they'd have spring break. Well, they're like, you know what? We're just going to cancel that third week of school. And that sounds great. That's an easy decision to make. I get all that, but when you're a parent and you have two working parents. And now you're literally looking at, they're going to have an entire month off. I'm telling you right now, they're not going back to school. By the time, it's like April 13th when they're scheduled to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Are they really going to come back for a month? Especially if the CDC says the 8-week thing, that's why baseball's talking about May 15th, May 26th. Okay. That would be this. That's where that 8 weeks is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a chance on this earth that these kids are going back to school this year.
But here's the question:
it's going to be online the rest of the year.
Okay, but are they going to accelerate into the next grade, or do they going to have to come back and repeat?
No, they'll go on to the next grade.
Okay, I sure hope so, because I'm counting down the day till my twin daughters, who are in kindergarten, mm-hmm. they're 5 years old. I am counting down to their 18th birthday. I can't wait for them to be on their own.
Well,
so I don't want to have to reset the clock another okay. year. I'm very selfish.
I'm doing the same thing, but for a totally different reason. Because when whatever comes last, my daughter's 18th birthday or she graduates from high school,
mm-hmm.
then I'm off the legal hook at that point, which is different. I'm looking forward to my daughter driving because I'm tired of like chauffeuring, but. I'm convinced these kids aren't going back to school. To bring them back for basically a month, and they've already canceled graduations and everything else,
mm-hmm.
there's not a chance those kids are coming back. And what sucks is that, you know, it makes it hard on us parents because trying to figure out how to keep it. Because, okay, so they don't go to school the rest of this school year, and then they have another 8 weeks off. Okay, and then part of the deal about not making these days up is they have to do lessons and stuff. So, like, every day my daughter's got lessons. So I had to $325 for Daddy the other day mm-hmm. to get the Chromebook set up and get her on iLearn and iReady and Canvas. Where do you get into all that stuff? You know, all of a sudden, like, you got to get on this computer, and all her lessons now are, like, through the computer. Well, you know, I'm gone 17 and a half hours a day. I literally am taking days off during my day job mm-hmm. to help her and organize her. They're not going to bring him back to school at all this year. You watch and see. They're done.
Yeah, man, I agree with you. Although, if they didn't do the online schooling, do you think they would have to maybe adjust the calendar?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because the online thing is going to get us to the finish line.
I don't know how it is in Tennessee. My understanding is in Georgia, they have to do 180 days. And as long as there are lessons and things like that involved, these days that they're missing won't have to be made up. They already build in some days for, like, you know, like snow days and stuff like that. I mean, the way it is down here, these kids go to school 6 weeks and then they're off a whole week.
Mm-hmm.
6 weeks off, 6 weeks a week off. So they go for Christmas break for 2 weeks. And then literally like 4 weeks later, about 5 weeks later, they have a whole nother week off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, by like second week of February, they just got back from 2 weeks. by second week of February, they're on another. They're on winter break, and I'm like, didn't they just have winter break for Christmas? Nope, they get another. They get another week off, and that's why. Like my daughter starts school August 1st, so you know, as a kid, I was going to school after Labor Day, you know, early September. August 1st, these kids are back in school down here. It's crazy.
Yeah, my girls had fall break the second week of October.
Uh-huh.
I don't recall ever having fall break in high school.
Nope.
Or elementary school or middle school.
We didn't start till after Labor Day, sometimes that Tuesday, sometimes the following week.
Yep.
And we would roll till Thanksgiving. Then you got Thursday, Friday off Thanksgiving. And then we rolled to Christmas. You got your 2 weeks off. And from there, it was a day here, a day there. We did get spring break off the week of Easter with Good Friday and all that. We would get that week off for spring break. Short of that, there was no fall break, winter break. You know, there wasn't all these every 6 weeks. But here, and I don't like the fact they start school in August. I would much rather it just be, it's a lot easier in the summertime when you know it's coming to organize and plan. The problem is
you're
right now.
So you're thinking September through June?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No. No.
Through Memorial Day.
I'm talking about go after September, but don't take the week breaks off. It's too hard to organize all of a sudden a week in the middle of October or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier to come up with summertime activities than some of these things in the fall. Like second week of February, there aren't a whole lot of outdoor camps that are running in Atlanta, okay? So June, July, August, she can go to YMCA, Gideon. She can go do this, do that, gymnastics and stuff like that. You know, second week of February, that's a little tougher to pull off. Mm-hmm. So that's makes it way easier for us. And finally, this whole thing that have you seen where a lot of these cities have decided that they're going to allow alcohol, to-go alcohol. If you go to the restaurant and get your to-go food, you can get to-go alcohol.
Mm-hmm. I have the perfect solution for what you're fearful of.
Okay.
So you're obviously fearful that somebody's going to get their food, their drink, and they're going to crack it open before they get home and be irresponsible.
Yeah.
Here's what you do. You remember back in the day, and I say that loosely, like we're old, but like back in the late 90s when like high-end retail stores would put those little security pins on like high-end clothing.
Yeah.
So if you stole
it, it'd be the ink thing. Yeah.
And if you try to break it off, it'll explode.
Yep.
You do that to the booze. And it goes right into your booze and you can no longer consume it.
But how do you take it off when you get home? Because you had to have one of those machines that the clerk could take it off for you.
That's a good point. Yep. I didn't think it through.
Yep.
I'm halfway there. I've got the idea. I just got to, you know, workshop it.
I don't know. It feels like there's going to be a lot of people driving down from Cumming just to get their liquor or something like that at a takeout restaurant or something. All right. When we get back, we're going to hear from Brian Baldinger, who joined the midday show, NFL analyst. He's done a lot of stuff with us in fantasy football and everything like that for the station as well. We'll hear Baldy coming up next. John Chuckery, Nick Cale, hanging out with you in the Keys studios on a Friday night. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show live from the Kia Studios. Don't forget to listen to us on the radio.com app as well. So Andy and Randy on the midday show earlier today, they had a chance to catch up with NFL Network analyst Brian Baldinger. Does a lot of good work. Baldy's Breakdowns is kind of one of those must-watch things during the NFL season. Of course, did some stuff with us on our fantasy football draft here. That we had at the station earlier this year, and the guys had him on, and they asked him about what is it, or what can they realistically expect the Falcons, that is, get out of Todd Gurley?
Well, you know, he's 25 years old, you know, so by anybody's measures, he's still a young player. He only has roughly 1,500 total touches, you know, in his 5 years in the league. The only thing that, you know, I mean, and he looks healthy to me. I mean, he gets asked that question ad nauseum, and I'm sure he's sick of answering it, but he looks healthy. The only thing that's missing is the explosive plays, and that's what usually happens when a player starts to decline. I don't care, you know, if you're Eric Dickerson or Tony Dorsett or, you know, what. I mean, the explosive plays just aren't there, and that's, you can say, okay, the offensive line was in disarray last year, and it was, and a lot of new faces, and that's true. But he had eight plays last year, running and catching, and 300 touches. that, you know, went for 20 yards or more. The two previous years, he combined for 38 plays of 20 yards or more. You just don't see the explosive 20, 30, 40-yard plays that you saw from 2017 when he really was as good as any player in this league.
And, Baldy, I mean, that when you say it like that, what are some realistic expectations? Last year he had over 1,000 yards, total offense, double-digit touchdowns. I think he can get somewhere in that area, but I think he can – and it's all about those five guys up front. You know that, Baldy. I think that he might be able to get you 1,200 if those five guys up front are doing their job too.
Well, you know, they really didn't have much of a chance last year, obviously, with Lindstrom's injury or with his illness, you know, before the season started. But I think if you get McGarry and Lindstrom together along with Alex and, you know, you get that group together, you know, I think they have a chance to be pretty good. And if they are, then I think it's, you know, I think 1,000 yards is certainly possible. You know, there's a question of how many touches. Can he get 200 to 250 rushing touches? If he does, then I think 1,200 yards is a possibility right now.
They cut Devontae Freeman earlier in the week, I mean, partially because of injury concern. Like, is Todd Gurley a significant upgrade from Devontae Freeman at this point?
I think so. I mean, you know, a big part of Devontae was just the concussions, you know. And so, you know, that hadn't been a problem with Todd Gurley. He's bigger, stronger back. I mean, we all loved Devontae Freeman. He played with his hair on fire. We loved the way they played. But, you know, we saw diminishing skills there. The injury certainly had a part of it. But I think, I mean, I liked what I saw from Brian Hill at times last year. But, I mean, I think you put Todd Gurley back there. I think he gets everybody's attention in the league. He's still Todd Gurley. You could say that he's a declining player, and maybe he is. But sometimes you just need a fresh start with maybe a better offensive front and maybe a little better commitment to the run. I think you could get that in Atlanta. So, you know, he's back home in Georgia. I'm sure he's happy about that. It took less than 24 hours for him to find a landing spot. I'm sure he's, you know, anxious to prove everybody wrong and prove the Rams wrong. Usually when players are pretty motivated, you can get a pretty good performance out of them. So I think it's an upgrade right now, but it all remains to be seen about just, you know, I think you're going to get a healthy Todd Gurley, and that you just have to work around a knee that's probably, you know, arthritic from the day that he blew it out there at Georgia, and you got to kind of handle it as an organization. I'm sure that they, you know, will have ways to do that.
Baldy, what did you think of the signing of Fowler right there? I mean, he's a guy that, you know, up and down as first round pick number 3 overall, I think it was, and, you know, got hurt early in his career. Had his best year last year out there with Los Angeles. What are your thoughts of that move by the Falcons?
Well, I'm sure, you know, everybody watched him, you know, in his game in Atlanta last year. His best game he ever played.
Yep.
You know, forget about the sacks and the forced fumble. I mean, it was just the best game he ever played. And so, you know, it was a good audition for where he is right now. But, you know, Dan Quinn obviously coached him. I don't know if he recruited him in Florida, but he coached him there. He knows him. I mean, Vic Beasley, they tried to train him, you know, after the loss to Seattle last year, and there just wasn't any tapers. I mean, they couldn't get anything for him. And so, you know, I think Dante comes in there, and he's got a chance right now, obviously on his third team right now, to maybe pick up where he left off this year. You know, with the Rams, now, look, he's not going to have Aaron Donald inside. Mm-hmm. They've got a good interior rush. I'm not taking anything away from Greg Jarrett, but, I mean, he's not Aaron Donald. Nobody is. And he certainly helped with some of the stunts that he ran with him and the attention that Aaron Donald gets every single play that helped him. But, you know, this business, you've got to win one-on-ones. And that's what Dante Fowler did better last year. And if he can improve upon that, then I think they got themselves an upgrade at defensive end.
Brian Baldinger joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline from NFL Network, helping us break down all the moves the Falcons have made this week. The first thing they did this week, and the last thing we'll ask you about before we maybe take some other NFL questions into account, is the tight end, Hayden Hurst. They make a trade for Hayden Hurst. Obviously, Austin Hooper signs with the Browns. What do you think of the move to bring in the former first-round draft pick, Hayden Hurst?
Well, I mean, look, he was the number one tight end coming out just 2 years ago, and, you know, he can run. He didn't get much of a chance to show it. He went through two different offenses there in Baltimore. You know, and Mark Andrews became a star in that offense. And so while they played three tight ends a lot, he really wasn't a focal point. I think it's all in front of him right now. I mean, I think Hayden Hurst, you know, he came out and, you know, he was, he ran really, really well coming out of the combine. He caught everything in college. He's got great hands. Now he's going to get a chance to show. We know this with Matt Lyon. You give him a good tight end, you know, whether it's Gonzalez or improving Austin Hooper, he's going to get the ball to the tight end. There's going to be opportunities there in the middle of the field with what they have on the outside for the tight end to flourish. So it's really like he's going to get his a chance to really begin his career. He's healthy. He's young. He's got talent. I think it's all there in front of him for him to sort of kind of get started here.
Hey, Baldy, the one thing we're talking about, I know Tom Brady's a big thing, but we've been talking about him all week. What are your thoughts about Cam Newton? And we're trying to figure out what's the big deal. We know that Coach Lynn loves Tyrod Taylor, but, I mean, it just seems like it would be the right fit for Cam out there in L.A.
It does. They also have a pretty high draft pick.
Right.
And so, you know, there's a lot of quarterbacks that are coming out that are going to be talked about ad nauseum over the next 5 weeks. And so I don't know if Jordan Love is a guy. And Tom Telesco is a general manager. You know, is he in love with Jordan Love or, you know, Airbird, you know, whoever it is. You know, I mean, I personally love Jalen Hurts myself. But, you know, I mean, is there a guy in this draft that they compare with Tyrod Taylor?
Uh-huh.
Now, the one thing about, you know, Cam, I'm a Cam Newton fan. I make no bones about it. But if you go back to the halfway point of the 2018 season, when he was healthy, the Carolina Panthers were 6-2. They were rolling. North Turner's offense was working. Cam looked great. The shoulder fell off. The Liz Frank happened. And here he is, you know, sort of waiting to hear from somebody. And he's got a big $19 million payday owed to him if somebody traded for him. So nobody's going to trade for a $19 million quarterback, no matter what his name is, if they don't know that he's healthy. And nobody knows how healthy he is. So it's just a peculiar set of circumstances. And that includes, you know, the Chargers. I mean, I would link to the Chargers as well. I'd link to the Redskins. I'd link to half a dozen teams in this league if I knew I was getting Cam Newton from the first half of the 2018 season. But we don't know that right now.
Baldy, what is the deal with Jordan Love? And why are people so high on him? I'm not saying he's not a good quarterback, but you just said, I mean, everybody's talking about Jordan Love in top six somewhere, mainly to the Chargers.
Well, I did some Texas Tech games this year. Matt Wells came from Utah State. He recruited Jordan Love, and, you know, he had to take over a program at Texas Tech. And when I talked to him, he thought he was a first-round pick. He thought he was smart. He was cerebral. He was athletic. He had size, all that. But, you know, 17 interceptions. You watch the interceptions, you know, maybe you go, what part of this game transfers to a first-round pick? Now, I know Matt Ryan threw 17 interceptions at Boston College, but his senior year there. But it doesn't look like the same type of talent that Matt Ryan is. His balls are late to the outside. They get picked for, I think he threw three pick sixes last year. I'm not as in love with him. I know people say, well, you know, don't look at that. Well, that's all I'm looking at. I'm not, you know, there live at Utah State. You know, I'm not watching any private workouts right now. From my watch on tape, he doesn't look like a top-tier quarterback to me. So I'm with you, Randy. I don't see it. I take Jalen Hurts over him every day of the week.
All right.
How much better does Tom Brady make Tampa? Obviously, the fanfare is through the roof, but how much better are they? How seriously should we be considering their chances?
Well, I mean, look, Jameis Winston, not only did he throw 30 interceptions and fumble it five times last year, he threw seven pick sixes, including the final play of the season against the Falcons.
Yeah.
On the first play of overtime, as you all remember.
Yep.
I mean, that ended their season. It was so apropos for the way that he played. You know, he's just so careless with the football. Like, Tom Brady's not going to play that way. So if you just eliminate the mistakes and you look at that team, you go, okay, if they get themselves a right tackle, which I think they will with the 14th pick, and who knows if they trade up to get an elite, you know, offensive tackle. But, you know, you look at that defensive front, they were a handful in the second half of the season. whether it was handling the front or the linebackers, the way that they turn the ball, you know, they created turnovers. I mean, I think Tom Brady is every bit worth three more wins this year, which would put him at 10.
Wow.
And, you know, if it clicks, maybe it's 11 wins. So, I mean, they're going to be in the playoff hunt right away. And, you know, I mean, he was a big fish in free agency, and he's in a weird, knowing, I mean, they got the big fish. He's going to make them a lot better.
Baldy, we appreciate it, man. Enjoy all the breakdowns. Enjoy the social distancing.
Appreciate it, Baldy.
Keep it up, guys. Do the same now.
All right, man. Talk.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.